Hello there. We're trying to keep Choral Chihuahua going, and so we draw your attention to the possibility of listening to us on Patreon for just a few quid a month. This also magically gets rid of the ads. That's Patreon with an E, patreon.com/choralchihuahua. On with the app.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back with you. A couple of episodes ago, we discussed hormones and their effects on the voice. And it's a great pleasure this week to welcome back Charlotte Mobbs and Dr. Ginevra Williams to lead us through a conversation about menopause and the effects it can have on singers, and possibly to look at some techniques and suggestions on dealing with these side effects. But before we start, Ginevra, would you like to do the honours?
Welcome to Choral Chihuahua.
Monteverdi, that sounds like Stanford.
Thank you. There we go. Stage one complete. I have to hold my hand up and confess that this is something which I had not really considered until more recent times as being something that my colleagues and friends were having to contend with in their singing. And as someone who's been conducting choirs for a long time now, I feel somewhat ashamed to say that this wasn't really on my radar. However, it is nowadays, and I'm delighted that we're able to have this conversation today. Ginevra, when did you first become aware that this was an issue for singers?
Well, relatively recently, actually. I think I had done most of my early research was in children's voices, and so I was very aware of what they were going through with hormone changes. But the idea that hormone changes in later life would be affecting singers, I think we've only really got to grips with this in the last 10 years or so.
Which is horrifically recent, isn't it?
Yeah.
You hear this said quite often nowadays, but if this were a condition that affected men, there would have been research happening to this for decades and decades now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The early research grants were all decided by men and researched by men on men. So women's issues were never really flagged up.
No, and in fact, the earliest research was in the 1990s, and I was reading one of those papers earlier, and they actually used men as the control group on a paper about the effects of the menopause on a female voice. How extraordinary is that?
That's so funny. They could have used dogs, perhaps.
Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
Well, I've certainly been accused of singing like a dog at times. But before we go down that particular rabbit hole, let's hear our first track. This is the opening movement of Vivaldi's famous Gloria, but sung as Vivaldi may have heard it while he was employed at the Ospedale della Pietà in Venice, an institution similar to the Foundling Hospital, which Handel wrote his famous anthem for. This is the opening movement of the Gloria, but sung by an all-female choir.
Thank you.
Richard Vendôme conducting the Schola Pietatis Antonio Vivaldi from the album Vivaldi's Women. Richard Vendôme was the director of the Oxford Girls Choir and has done a huge amount of research into the all-female chorus that Vivaldi would have conducted. And if you're interested to find out a bit more about this, the BBC4 documentary can still be found on YouTube and is really worth a look.
That's quite something, isn't it? Now, that's a performance in D major. That's the same key that we would be singing it in an SATB performance. So those ladies on the bass part are singing at the same pitch that I would be singing at. Extraordinary. So let's start the conversation with looking at what is the menopause, the stages, what happens, symptoms, and if you could give us a quick sort of general rundown of what we're talking about here, Charlotte.
How long do we have? Because that's quite a lot. It's well, look, if you go onto Google and type in menopause symptoms, it comes up with a list of over 46 symptoms. So it often comes up with the top 40. I mean, that's huge. That's a lot of symptoms. So what we're looking at is three stages: perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. Perimenopause can last, well, most likely to last for years. It can last for only a few months, but it's more likely to last for years. Menopause is the day or the time that your period stops, and then you are into postmenopause. And that lasts for years again. So perimenopause can start any, as menopause can, you know, you can have an early menopause in your 30s. So perimenopause, most likely, I think I'm right in saying about 45-ish. And that can go on for years. The symptoms, some of the many symptoms, irregular periods, mood swings, migraines, trouble sleeping, fatigue, dryness, brain fog, anxiety, you know, vertigo, the list goes on and on and on.
Hot flushes. And alongside irregular periods, you can sometimes get really heavy bleeding.
You said there that the average age for beginning this was around sort of 40, 45, but that's not the case for everyone, is it?
No, absolutely not. In similar, you know, there are so many similarities between what you're here today and what we spoke about, what we've said previously in the previous episode, is that everybody's journey is different. There is no one path. So, you know, time scale is different for everybody. Absolutely. I know of a number of singers who had very early menopause before 40, which is really, really very challenging.
And if you're not expecting it and you start getting odd symptoms in your 20s, the last thing you think about is it could be early menopause. And it's only if you go for blood checks and they start checking hormone levels that you might know. But certainly after the age of 40, if things start changing or you're getting any of the symptoms that you just named earlier, then it's certainly something to consider that you may well be perimenopausal. And you can go and have a blood check just to see whether you are, and that'll check hormone levels. And then you've got a better idea of whether all of those oddities that you're going through are something that is actually healthy. Even though it's really unpleasant and uncomfortable, it's happening in a healthy body that is doing the things that a healthy body does. And so you find other ways to mitigate the unpleasantness of the symptoms.
Once one has been to see your GP and had that blood test, and I say one has been given the results that you are indeed perimenopausal, it feels like that could be not a life-changing experience, but one has to adapt to a whole new set of obstacles and difficulties that one's facing.
Well, except that you've been facing them for a little while, and finally someone has said, you're not going bonkers. It's okay. There is a reason for this. Your hormone levels have changed. Your estrogen levels are, you know, they're constantly fluctuating anyway, but they're lowering and lowering and lowering. And this is happening for a reason. So actually, I think for a lot of people to be told you are perimenopausal or going through the menopause, then actually it can be a relief to be told that.
Yeah, if it's coming at a suitable time for you, and that would be when you are okay with not being fertile anymore, when you've done that stage of your life, and ready to move on to the next stage. But there's a bit of a bumpy road between the two.
Yes, I'm not sure that there's a convenient time, is there? Because of course, for many people, this is an extremely, you're around the age of 40, 45. It's an extremely hectic period of life. While children are often young, work is still very busy. There are an awful lot of plates to keep spinning, aren't there, Charlotte?
So many plates. So I've lost count of the plates.
And I think this is significant for a lot of women, because in their 40s and early 50s, a lot of women are, coping with teenage children, and they can be emotionally challenging, even though they may be less time consuming. And this emotional challenge is coming at a time when you may be having mood swings, you may be sleeping badly, you may be quite uncomfortable a lot of the time, and it's difficult to manage. And also, this time in one's working life, it can be when you are actually moving on to senior management levels, when you are becoming a leader in your workplace, and more responsibility. And all of these things are piling onto you at a time when your body is being a little bit more chaotic and unpredictable.
It all sounds terrifying, quite frankly. And in the interests of clarity, I should point out that the reason that Charlotte and I are sitting on the same microphone, well, not sitting on the microphone, but using the same microphone, is that we're also married as well. Before we move on, here's another track, something a little different. This is Trio Bulgarka, three Bulgarian singers, Stoyanka Boneva from Pirin, Yanka Rubkina from Stranja, and Eva Georgieva from Dobruja. And these ladies combine to perform and record traditional Bulgarian music, as well as collaborating with other artists, including Kate Bush on her album The Red Shoes. This track is from their album Balkana, The Music of Bulgaria. The track is called Nauhil Sai Dobri. This is a song about Dobri the merchant, who's selling cloaks from town to town. And one day, he looks for some herbs in the town of Jaravna. And instead of herbs, he finds the beautiful lady, indescribably named Bonka. And she's sweeping the courtyard of her house. And Dobri says, Bonka, look at me and love me.
Марина, дигни си радишке, аляното булци. Мари да та видя радишке, черна ока лиси. Марина, дигни си радишке, аляното булци. Мари да та видя радишке, черна ока лиси. Де мой бил конака, в гюзели бонкини, в гюзели бонкини. Bonka dvorime te, ravni dvorime te, ravni dvorime te. Marina digni si radičke, aljano to bulci. Marina ta vide radičke, černa oka lisi. Marina digni si radičke, aljano to bulci. Marina ta vide radičke, černa oka lisi. Марина, дигни си радички, аляното булци. Марина, та видя радички, черна окалиси. Марина, дигни си радички, аляното булци. Марина, та видя радички, черна окалиси. Черна окалиси.
Again, on that recording, Charlotte, we've got some quite low sounding female voices there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's worth noting that some people just do have low voices. So, you know, that is just a fact. We have in this country, we have quite a few lady tenors, don't we, in choral societies and coming along to workshops.
Yeah, absolutely. Lady tenors are actually increasingly. I find more and more ladies in the tenor section, and often they're proving to be the backbone of their sections.
And also in barbershop, in ladies' barbershop, the lowest part is really quite low.
Mm. Yeah, I can remember at school many, many years ago, back in the 80s, a group called the Queen's Singers came and gave a concert at our school. And I remember sitting there just with my jaw hanging open at this lady who could sing lower than I could. At that time, I did look them up on Google, but I couldn't find them, unfortunately. So maybe they're, mind you, it was a long time ago, as I say. But is that something? Let's think about the menopause and the effects that it can have on voice. Is a deepening of the voice one of the possible symptoms of that?
It is possible. Yes, I mean, you know, so during perimenopause and menopause, the sex hormone receptors receive extra androgens, and they thicken the membranes of the vocal folds. That can lead to a deeper sounding voice. Absolutely, it can. Again, it's really important to say that not everyone will find all of these symptoms. You know, you may not feel any effect on your voice at all. You may feel that you're sat there and you're thinking, oh yes, actually that and that could display possibly vocal fatigue, increased vocal fatigue. The phrase that I often hear, and being 100% honest here, is that a change in the voice feeling more unpredictable or less predictable. That's something that I very much feel.
And that can be pitching unpredictability as well. So where you are used to just having a certain sensation and knowing what pitch that's going to be, suddenly that's disturbed. And that can be because the vocal folds themselves are behaving differently because they're more edematous or...
Edematous, swelling caused by too much fluid in the tissues.
And that can be because the vocal folds themselves are behaving differently because they're more edematous or because the nerve signals to the muscles will shift as well with menopause. And the brain is giving different messages. So you go to sing one note and another one comes out. And that can be really disturbing for a singer. And this can last for a while, and then the brain will recalibrate and work it out. And it's a similar instability to the ones that happen with teenagers, as we were talking about last time, that you just go through this period of not quite knowing what's going to come out. So pitching instability as well as a pitch shift, and it is normal for a pitch shift to go down. Mm. Occasionally, people find their pitch goes up. Sometimes people find the pitch stays the same. But most women will find that their overall pitch will drop. They'll get more at the bottom and less at the top. And the speaking voice will drop. And that is a natural thing with aging anyway, that the speaking voice gets lower.
And of course, for any singer to experience those kind of changes where, as you say, you have a sensation, and as a singer, we know that, you know, if you're going to sing a D, that it feels in that part of the voice and it doesn't fit there anymore. That's very upsetting, very troubling for singers of any standard. If you're singing at a very high level, it must be absolutely terrifying to be facing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very, very frightening. And also, you know, let's bear in mind that we've already mentioned anxiety. So here we go. Here's another layer of anxiety to put on top. The anxiety of, I'm not quite sure what's going to come out. Is this going to be what I need it to be at this moment? And that, you know, that can be affecting confidence and performance-wise. Then, you know, you're going down a path of performance anxiety potentially, and you know, this is a whole path of anxiety. Basically, just anxiety. There's an awful lot of anxiety going on.
Any male conductors out there, we need to be hyper aware of this now and conscious and supportive of the ladies in our choirs. In a minute, I think it would be useful to maybe have a chat about what one can do to try and offset some of these symptoms, what one can do. But let's have another track before then. Another all-female vocal ensemble. This is the trio who are simply called Voice. I met these singers about 15 or so years ago when they sang in Pulse, which was the solo voice ensemble, which was the top level of the South Bank Centre's Voice Lab programme, which was run by the wonderful Mary King. This is the first movement of Three Wings by Tim Lee Young, and it forms part of Voice's show Hildegard Transfigured.
Thank you.
Una Via, part one of Three Wings by Tim Lee Young, performed by Voice. The singers were Victoria Cooper, Clemmy Franks and Emily Byrne. And you can explore more of this programme on their recording Hildegard Portraits on the Somme label, which has works by Hildegard von Bingen, alongside other works by Ivan Moody, Stevie Wishart, Laura Moody, Marcus Davidson and Emily Levy. Incidentally, Clemmy Franks also sang on the first track, the Vivaldi Gloria that we heard sung by the Scuola Pietatist Antonio Vivaldi, Clemmy, who was a one-time member of the Oxford Girls Choir, which was conducted by Richard Vendome, who conducted that same Vivaldi project. I've been on a journey of sorts of my own over the last couple of years, trying to deal with some vocal issues, and I've had speech and language therapy and various bits of vocal physical therapy as well. So I have sort of a toolbox, if you like, of things that I can do now for days when I'm finding the voice is not working quite how I would like it to. And yeah, I've got processes that I can try and put in place and a routine that I go through on concert days. What can we suggest to female singers who might be experiencing some of the symptoms that we've been talking about here? What are your own experiences of dealing with these symptoms? So have you got any useful techniques that we might be able to pass on, which people can explore?
Well, I think the main thing to say is that it's important that you carry on singing, that you keep using those muscles. I think you may have heard me say it before, you use it or you lose it. So keep using your voice. Personally, I also have a toolbox, a toolkit, and I like to empower my singers that I work with to fill their own toolkits as well. For me, using semi-occluded vocal tract exercises, that can be on a v, a z, z, n, the ng on the siren, or all sorts of things, using the straw. I believe you've talked about straw work before.
Yeah, a little bit, yes. Yeah. That's something we can go into in more detail another time, I think.
Yeah, vocalising through the straw. It's really important that everybody understands that what you're doing is vocalising through the straw. I sometimes see people thinking it's a musical instrument. It's not. So we're just extending our vocal tract with the straw. So we're just going to sing through the straw.
And is that just singing through the straw on its own, or can it be? Would you sing into water as well?
I would do without water for something like this. To be honest, I mean it's any exercises that you're doing are good exercises. It really varies from person to person. Again, your own journey. So find what you feel is working for you, or find someone that can help you to fill your own toolkit.
And you can also understand the other changes going on in your body and accommodate them. If you can't change them, you can accommodate them. And I think people work this out for themselves. So if you are prone to having hot flushes, you wear layers. So you can strip off some layers pretty quickly and carry on functioning. That's difficult to do if you're in some kind of costume or uniform, that you can't remove the layers. So maybe that's something that we could consider making life more comfortable for women in choirs, is allowing them to wear a uniform that is a bit more flexible, that doesn't necessarily have high necks and scarves and long sleeves and things that might be more uncomfortable if you're actually going through a bit of a hot flush.
Yeah, good suggestion that. I think I like to think that I'm pretty flexible in what I ask my choirs to wear. The only proviso that I give is that there has to be plenty of bling, which always, oh, that's a stupid thing to say. I mean, that is what I say. Let's not include that. They always seem to like that.
If you're a choir leader or a choir conductor and you are wondering what to say to the women in your choir, what to say to open the channels of communication, the first thing you can do is to just say you're aware that this is a thing. You're aware that there will be women in the group who are going through all sorts of journeys of their own that may be making their voices and their bodies slightly less predictable, less comfortable. And if anybody needs anything in particular, please ask. So just don't assume that all the women in their 40s are going to be having hot flushes, because a lot of them won't be. Don't assume anything. Just open up communication and say, I understand this is a thing. Do let me know what you need.
Absolutely. I think we would all rather someone acknowledged and opened up that communication. I don't think anybody will be offended by that. And, it's sort of, here is another similarity to our previous podcast, you know, the voice changing and possibly the slight lowering of the voice. Maybe you're not finding it so easy to hum a top G for 35 bars. Thank you, James McMillan. maybe that's you're struggling with that. That's not your thing anymore. But hang on, what have you gained? What have you gained? You've gained this beautiful, warm tone at the bottom, slightly richer tone. You've gained something. So how can we accommodate that? What can we do as a conductor or as a choir leader? What can we do to allow that? Well, this is very similar to those teenage girls who possibly, you know, don't need to be put in boxes of soprano, alto boxes. You know, maybe we could have a bit more flexibility here. Question.
These sorts of changes of the lowering of a voice, do we know whether this is a permanent state of affairs or can the voice sort of come back up afterwards? So I'm wondering whether if you've been a first soprano, you have a little period of time singing second or possibly even alto, and then does the voice come back up?
Maybe.
I mean, yes, it's possible. It's possible, but it's not a definite. I mean, there's a conversation about HRT and what this can do for us as a whole, but also what it can do for us, vocally. There have been some bits of research done where postmenopausal women without hormone therapy were able to phonating at a lower pitch compared to those with HRT. But look, we're looking at really small numbers here, so we really can't generalize. If HRT is something that you're considering, then that's a conversation with your GP.
There, anecdotally, a lot of singers will say that HRT has really helped them.
Yeah.
But we also know that this is something that, as Charlotte said, you do need to talk to your GP about. Is it the right thing for you? Are you wanting it for the right reasons?
God, it's such a minefield, isn't it?
It really is.
And that, as you say, I mean, I've realised that I'm asking questions to which there aren't any straight answers, because, as you've said, every journey is different, every case is unique. So I think for those people listening, it's probably reassuring for people to hear you talking about symptoms that they may be experiencing or that they may be experiencing, what they're going through in their own singing, and knowing that it's not just them, because it must be quite a lonely thing. I know from my own vocal struggles that it can feel very isolating when you feel that you can't operate at the level at which you're used to.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also you don't know whether it's going to get worse, whether it's going to stay the same, whether it's going to get better. There's a lot of unknown about it. And again, talking to lots of singers and reading singers' own experiences about this, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You do come out from all of the instabilities into a different normal, a new normal for you. And that can be really empowering, because that will be in your 50s normally, and maybe a time when your children are moving away, when you are able to take on more responsibility at work, when you perhaps don't care so much about what other people think of your voice and just want to sing for your own joy and pleasure, wherever you can and however you can. And it can be so liberating and so empowering to be in this phase, post-menopause, out of the way of all of that, a bit more predictable, you know where you are vocally, and you've got years and years of happy singing before you even have to think about the effects of the aging voice, which is another conversation.
Yes, and I heard a wonderful thing about this phase and what it's often called now. It's often called the goddess phase, which I think is amazing, that suddenly you come out of this and you are this goddess, and absolutely you are.
You're already a goddess in my eyes, Danny.
I paid him to say that.
I think that's a really important thing to hang on to, though, just listening to this, that actually, as you say, it is a temporary state of affairs, one hopes, and that to listen to as an idea that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, not just that, but a time of joy waiting sort of at the end of this. Something very positive for, God, I can't speak today, sorry.
Welcome to the menopausal brain.
Now, I'm finding when I give seminars and workshops now, the nouns just vanish from my head and I haven't got the recall. And I just own it straight up there and I say, sorry, the word's not there, menopause brain. And you can see half the people in the room nodding and smiling and understanding what it is. And then 2 or 3 minutes later, the word just drops into my head and I know where it is. But I just own up and go with it.
Absolutely. And I think we all need to do that. And we need to have conversations. There need to be conversations, more conversations. Keep talking about it. The more we talk about it, the more we are helping people. So absolutely, own it.
Ginevra, I know you wanted to mention some resources that people could possibly go and look at if they're looking to explore this topic a bit further.
Yeah, now the best one for singers is a book called Singing Through Change, Women's Voices in Midlife, Menopause and Beyond. And it's by Nancy Boss, Joanne Bozeman and Kate Fraser-Neely. And it is a very, very helpful book that talks you through the whole process and has a lot of interviews with other singers. So that is really worth investing in. And I would love to read a short section from the book, which I think is beautiful and it sums it all up. We must be open to becoming a different singer through our changes, during which every part of our body is affected, from our fingernails to our intestines. Anecdotally and personally, we've learned that there can be a fulfilling and sometimes hidden truth to uncover in our vocal lives as we move through the years of perimenopause, postmenopause, and aging. That truth may include releasing the need to meet the expectations of others, interest in exploring newly enhanced characteristics of the voice, and discovery of an overriding desire to impact others with our story through singing. When we go through the menopausal transformation and second voice change, we each react to and create our own unique physical, emotional, and spiritual journey.
That's wonderful, isn't it? As you say, that really encapsulates it. Everything that one needs to hear is right there.
Yeah, it's worth also saying that the book is also available as an audiobook, and they have joined me on many dog walk recently. So thank you to them for writing that amazing book. It really is worth a read and a listen. So it's also worth, we talked about earlier about filling your own toolkit, your own toolbox. There are so many vocal health professionals out there that are able to help you. There are two right here. And there's a new centre down in Lewis, Valentine Voice Care Centre, which is full of singing teachers, vocal coaches, but also vocal massage therapists, acupuncture, osteopaths, nutritional therapists as well. All, you know, let's look at the whole picture here. Let's do everything we can to help ourselves.
There's a lot of research that to suggest that diet is actually really important, and that you can help yourself through these hormonal changes with adjustments to your diet. There is another book called The Hormone Repair Manual, which is by Lara Bryden, and that has a lot of helpful advice about other lifestyle changes you can make.
So some good practical advice there, and opportunities for people to explore this further, should they like to. Charlotte, Ginevra, I think that's probably time for us to wrap it up. Thank you so much for your expertise and your experience and sharing that with us. Ginevra, you started the hormone episode with a song that people might not have been expecting, and I think you've got another suitable one to close us out today. Would you like to introduce it for us?
Yes, it's a bit cheesy, really, but I think it does sum it up very nicely, and it's Joni Mitchell singing Both Sides Now.
Thanks very much to you both, and we'll see you next time on Choral 2 Hour.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weep, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Just before you go, another reminder to try listening on Patreon, which costs just a few pounds per month. Or if you prefer, you can very simply make a one-off donation. You can actually do either via choralchihuahua.com. Thanks.